Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. We spent our period of worship here this morning speaking about time. It seemed obvious that we should preach on time because of the time change, and I thought it also fitting to speak on tonight's subject because we feel like we've been cheated out of a little time. And the title of the subject, the sermon is, Are You Still Sleeping? Had you called my house at 4 o'clock this afternoon and asked that question, my wife would have to respond, yes, he is. I got a nap, and I don't know if I gained that whole hour back or not, but I feel better. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian brethren, a passage that we use this morning, but also fitting for this evening's sermon. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know, many feel as though they did not get enough sleep last night. We had to advance our clocks for daylight saving time. I understand that there's another move afoot to abolish that. It seems like it comes up every year. And it seems like every year we move forward in March and back in November or thereabouts. This biannual event doesn't change time, though. It just changes our perception of the time of day. And many, such as myself, after this event each year, have some difficulty adjusting to the new time for a bit. I know that the clock said 12 o'clock. We went to bed last night. And usually, if I roll over and turn off the lamp, I'm asleep before the light goes out. But last night, I had a little difficulty. We will adjust. Our sleep habits are set, and sometimes we have trouble making the transition. You know, the Bible also talks about people sleeping in the sense of taking rest and the body being in slumber. This is one of the ways in which sleeping can be used. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 7 through 9, we know the story where Paul was preaching and preached rather long, and Eutychus fell asleep during the sermon. And I hope tonight that none will do that. I do not plan on preaching till midnight. I see somebody yawning right now. But let's do not go to sleep. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I don't know if this contributed to the slumber that was there. I don't know what time that they began to meet. But he continued his speech until midnight. And it tells us in verse 8, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. This is talking about being in slumber, the rest that the body requires. And sometimes even against our best efforts, we will still nod off. In the latter part of verse 9 says, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. We understand that he had fallen asleep. His body had gone into that restful state when we oftentimes will slump over because we are asleep. And when he did, his body shifted and fell from the window, and we know how that all worked out. But another way in which sleep is used and is presented by Jesus is found in John chapter 11 and verse 11. We know that Jesus had some very dear friends in Bethany. We read of them on several occasions, and this is just one of them, or just prior to him going to them. Word had been brought that Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, had died. And he was speaking to his disciples. He was telling them that they were going to be making a trip. And he said to them in verse 11, these things saith he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. We know from reading the rest of the story that his disciples said, hey, that's pretty good if he's resting, if he's asleep. His body's healing, his body's mending. They didn't understand, and Jesus had to be a little direct with them. He had to say, Lazarus is dead. And so we see that sleeping can be used in the scripture, if it's contextually used, as dying. Also, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, we know that Stephen had the opportunity to preach to those who were against Christ, against the disciples, against that which God had ordained. And we can see as the stones rained down on Stephen after he exposed their hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of the stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, the Jews who were against Jesus, it says he went to sleep. The passage reads, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.'" Stop and think about it. He was being stoned. That meant that he was being pelted with stones, probably from any size to a baseball to a pumpkin. And reading the accounts of someone being stoned, it is a very, very difficult situation. It is hard to think about the pain and the injury that is that their bodies have to endure. And then finally, they die. But after he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," when he had said this, he fell asleep. We know that Lazarus had died. We know also that Stephen had died. He goes down in history as being the first Christian martyr. But yet there's a third way in which sleep can be used. It is a scriptural idea. And an excellent example of this can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. The Apostle Paul was directed on a number of occasions to bring to the Corinthians' minds that they were not to sleep spiritually. They were not to slumber spiritually. We are to be alive. We have been made alive by the blood of Christ, and we are to be energized. We are to continue to work in the kingdom, for the kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, he said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." He was telling them not to be asleep spiritually. Awake to righteousness. And part of being awake to righteousness is taking the knowledge of God to those who have not that knowledge. And he said to them, because they were asleep, "I speak this to your shame." And so that's the meaning of the word here, sleeping spiritually. And it's the way that I want it to be looked at and examined in the title of the sermon this evening. Are you still sleeping? You know, when we sleep spiritually, some awful things happen. And when these things happen, we're headed to an eternity of pain and suffering. There are a number of passages, and we will look at some of them this evening, that show us some of the terrible things that happen. And now that's what I want to focus on for a little bit here. When we sleep spiritually, the enemy sows his seed among us. We may very well be awake. We may very well be upright and walking about, interacting with others. But if we are asleep spiritually, we may not know what is being sown among us. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 25, Jesus is speaking a parable, as he oftentimes did. He's speaking using things from their life, things that they can understand, so that he could put across to them a very spiritual thing. He said unto them, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." As I understand, tares are not the thing that you want to harvest along with the wheat. And of course, there will be a time of separating these things. But he used this so that we can understand that if we are asleep spiritually, then false teachers creep in. And false teachers do not come with a sign that say, "Hello, my name is false teacher." They come in and they begin very subtly, very deceptively. Perhaps some would say, maybe they don't know they're sowing falsehood or bad seed. But whatever the case, they do not do it all of a sudden. They do it just a little bit. You know, there's a pervasive vine that grows in this part of the country, maybe all over the country, I don't know. It's called kudzu. We have a field of it right back over here, and you can tell when summertime comes because it greens up and it covers up and it's climbing in the trees and it's going everywhere. And I'm told it is very, very difficult to get rid of. But do you know how it came here? Just a little sprig. It was introduced at one of the world's fairs. And it was supposed to be excellent erosion control. Yes, sir. It'll cover up everything. The ground, the trees, the bushes, and anything it can attach itself to. This is what happens when the seed is sown among the brethren and they're asleep. The next thing you know, it takes root. And before you know it, it's almost impossible to get rid of. While we sleep, well, when we sleep spiritually, the flesh is attacked. It's important to understand that for every situation like this, there's a scripture that goes along with it. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41, we see Jesus commenting to his disciples who were physically asleep, but he did so in such a way so that we understand that he's warning them about being spiritually asleep. He cometh to the disciples, and finding them asleep, he saith unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" If I remember correctly, he had told them, "Stay here and watch. I go yonder to pray." And he went and he prayed for an hour, and he came back and he found them sleeping. And he left, and he went back and he prayed some more, and he came back and he found them sleeping. And he told them in verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We have to be on guard. And the only way that we can be on guard against being attacked by falling into temptation is to be spiritually awake. If indeed we are spiritually asleep, the spirit is left unfulfilled. Almost every Sunday morning we seem to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul recounting the instruction he received from the Lord, and he's talking to the Corinthian brethren, who, by the way, had perverted the supper of the Lord and made it a common meal. And it's never intended to be that. It is two simple emblems, that which represents the body and the blood of the Lord. And invariably we tend to stop reading with verse 29. But we need to read verse 30 as well in the context of that, and it's talking about being spiritually asleep or weak. Because verse 30 says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." These people were alive physically, but some of them were asleep spiritually. Some, according to Romans chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, because of their refusal to accept Jesus Christ and be obedient, have never been awakened spiritually. It's important for us to understand. We have died spiritually when we were involved in sin, when we were people of the world, before we saw the light, before someone came to us and brought to us the gospel and showed us the way of life. We know that Jesus is the way of life, but his blood must be properly applied. We must be born into the kingdom. But the ones of whom are written there in Romans chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, we see that some have not obtained that. They are still spiritually asleep. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write, he asked the question, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it." We see a contrast here. Israel has not obtained that which they sought. They wanted to be God's special people. And they could be God's special people, but they could not let go of the fact that God's special people were to be his special people spiritually. The physical reason for Israel being a separated nation had already been fulfilled. The law under which they existed had been nailed to the cross. And notice the latter part of that verse. "And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God had given in the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And why did God allow them to go off into eternity unprepared? Because they refused his word. Israel, remember the prayer? Paul's prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And so it's important that we understand that if our spirit is to be fulfilled, it has to be awake. If indeed we sleep spiritually, we fail to warn others. You know, we are watchmen. We as God's children are only responsible for our own sins in that we will be judged according to how we have done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. However, we do have a responsibility toward others. It is our responsibility as people who love souls, who want to see souls won for the cause of Christ, who want to see souls spend eternity with God, to warn them. And when we sleep spiritually, we lie down on the job, so to speak. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10. Oftentimes people, especially in today's culture, become very offended when things are direct. You can't get any more direct than the Bible puts it here about those of whom God was dealing with in Isaiah's day, those who had been called upon to warn their brethren. In Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10, we read, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. There's nothing offensive about this. Blind means they don't see. Ignorant, maybe they don't know. But notice the rest of this. They're all dumb dogs. And they cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. What he's saying is, because of their inactivity, because of their spiritual slumber, they refuse to warn people. And when they refuse to warn people, they also have to pay for not warning. It's important that we understand that we have a responsibility to warn others. We warn them of the danger. We warn people when there's a hole that they could fall into. We put up barricades around it and bright colored tape and that sort of thing. But when it comes to people's souls, do we warn them? Do we tell them of the danger of continuing down the path that they're going? We might very well soothe our conscience by saying they're not going to listen. You may warn 1,000 people, but if one listens, it's well worth the warning. Let's not be spiritually asleep. Let's warn people. We know from Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29, that Paul was awake, that Paul was alive, that Paul was well, and that he warned others. And this is just one of many examples of how we are supposed to do. As you turn to Colossians 1, beginning in verse 25, reading through verse 29, we see, whereof I, speaking of Paul, am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Paul was a selected individual. In other words, he was presented an opportunity. He wasn't forced to take it, but he was presented an opportunity in which he would go and he preached the gospel to others. He would warn them. He would be a watchman. It says, the latter part of verse 25, to fulfill the word of God. The word of God has been given to man so that man can be saved, so that souls could be redeemed from sin. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the Christian's job is to warn others. And we cannot do so if we're spiritually asleep. Verse 26 tells us what it is he was warning them and telling them about, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. In other words, the plan is now in place. The price has been paid. The opportunity is there. It is incumbent upon me to warn you, and that we continue to do so, so that we all can participate in the riches that God has provided for us. Verse 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we're spiritually asleep, we don't do that. We don't warn people. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, speaking of Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or whole or complete in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul was very much awake spiritually. There was no slumber in him. When we are asleep spiritually, other people know it. I jokingly and somewhat jokingly said about people going to the land of Nod. I've talked to other preachers and they all affirm it is apparent when someone had a rough night and just didn't rest. And we've all had those nights, toss and turn, or just can't go to sleep until 15 minutes before the clock goes off. And then we go all to sleep and then we wake up and, oh no, I gotta get ready, I gotta go. And you get there and everything. And the building's a little warm, as ours usually is. And all of a sudden, you look and you no longer see their eyebrows because the crown of their head is exposed. And then you see the sudden snap. They realize they're pitching forward in their chair. It becomes evident to all when someone falls asleep. I mean, I've been talking to people. I guess I'm kind of boring. But I've been talking to people before and look over and go like, what? We were having a conversation. But they went to sleep. Maybe they were very tired. But when we fall asleep spiritually, it becomes apparent to others. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. We see that the Spirit had the penman there write so that we would be aware of the fact that slumber, that inactivity is evident. He said, I went by the field of the slothful. We know what a sloth is, don't we? You've seen those animals. It's amazing when you watch those shows and you see the sloth and he's moving and he's got his eye on the fruit or whatever it is and he's moving as fast as he can, but it's in slow motion. And he brings his other claw up and he gets hold of the branch and he keeps moving. You say, well, he's making progress. But that's not how men are built. I went by the field of the slothful, and the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. In other words, this person who had a field, this person who had the vineyard, this person who had a wall, were not maintaining these things. And they are metaphors for our life. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Look at verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. When we become drowsy spiritually, it becomes apparent to others. It manifests itself in a number of different ways. We no longer talk about the Bible with others. We no longer make our presence known at the Bible studies and the worship services. We no longer seem to be interested. And that's when we are at our weakest. When we are asleep spiritually, that's when we become caught unaware. That's when we become ensnared. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13, verses 33 beginning. Now, this particular passage has been related to the second coming, and we know that none of us can know the time of the second coming. It has not been revealed, nor will it be revealed. And anybody that has down through the ages come up with a time and said, such and such a date, the Lord's coming back, the end of time's coming. Just don't pay any attention to that because nobody's been told, not even the Lord while he was here on the earth. The principle still applies to this when we are sleeping spiritually, when we are caught unawares. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Think, if you will, what happened here. Jesus Christ came and he lived on this earth under the Mosaic system. He died upon Calvary's cross and he nailed that law to the cross. And he issued to his servants, the apostles, this New Testament. And told all of his servants that all are to work. All are to watch. The porter was to watch. And then he said in verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crow or in the morning. You will not know when it's going to happen until it happens. Now all are going to know about it. The sound of the trump, the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Friends, we're all going to know about it. But what if we're spiritually asleep? There will be no time to get up, get on those clothes, brush those teeth, be ready to go. And I know, that sounds a little silly. But the truth of the matter is, we're told to watch. We're told to be ready. We're told to warn others, to make them ready, to help them to understand. Notice this. You know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Very, very stern warning there. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I know we have the idea, you know what? A lot of people are going to be watching. A lot of people are going to be ready, and maybe they'll wake me up. It's going to happen so fast. There's not going to be any time to make preparations at all. Let's go to Judges chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. This is speaking of physical sleep, by the way. This event that occurs there, and if you've never read it, it is very, very interesting. It is quite telling. This particular person who goes to sleep does so to his own detriment. Spiritually, if we go to sleep, we do so to our own detriment. The principle applies spiritually. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in to her in the tent, she covered him with a mantle. Oh, can you imagine? He thought, you know, I've escaped. I'm safe. I'm covered up. I'm hidden in here. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. You stop and think about it. He was running for his life. He was fleeing. And he was running away from those enemies, those who wanted to take his life. He said, I'm thirsty. And so she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. And he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say, no. Here he is. He's the enemy, but he says, lie for me, will you? Like, no, I've not seen him. And he felt so secure that he went to sleep. Verse 21 says, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly into him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. And so he died. Friends, when we are spiritually asleep, we perhaps are in slumber, maybe comforted by the thought that we've done some good things, that we've labored for the Lord for a while. Be very careful where you go to sleep and in what state you are. Sisera died there at the hands of a woman. If you'll read that entire story, you'll find out that it was prophesied that he would die at the hands of a woman. So what are we to do with this? When we sleep spiritually, the enemy sows seed among us. The flesh is attacked. The spirit is left unfulfilled. We fail to warn others. It becomes evident to all. We're caught unaware. What do? Wake up. Stop daydreaming. There is something to be said about daydreaming. I can tell you from experience. When you're daydreaming, you fashion things just like you want them to be. In your mind, you're the king of the castle. You're the mighty one in battle. You're the whatever it is you're daydreaming about. I have no idea what people daydream about. Their daydreams are theirs. My daydreams are mine. But when we're daydreaming, we're not totally aware of what's going on around us. Many is the time that I was daydreaming, and just like somebody going to the land of Nod, the teacher happened to realize, well, he's not quite here with us. And invariably, that's exactly when she would call on me. Can you tell us the answer? I have no idea what you ask. Spiritually, we can't afford to daydream. This is real, people. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He's telling them to wake up. He said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, you need to be looking all the way around. What's the phrase the military has for it? Keep your head on the swivel. You need to be looking everywhere around. There's the enemies out there. We need to wake up. We can't afford to be asleep spiritually. Not as fools, but wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. As we are awake, not spiritually hindered because we are asleep or in slumber, we are to cast off the works of darkness. You know, when we're awake, that's when we can best think. That's when we can best realize, perhaps having received feedback from somebody, that this is right and this is wrong. And cast off the works of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. Remember, the Apostle Paul is writing to members of the body of Christ, those who have put on Christ, and those who had come out of the world. Notice what they were being told here. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Stand up against them. You know, if we're daydreaming, we can't do that. He says in verse 12, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's how that which is wrong is made known. Because you shine the light on it. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We have examples of this. It's wonderful when you see God's word at work. And when Paul and others were going about and preaching the word of God, they were going from place to place. They were going to where people were. They were telling people, you need to wake up spiritually. They need to be born into the kingdom and then remain awake. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 19, we'll see when some of the folks at Ephesus woke up. You know, they've been involved in a whole number of different things. If you remember, that's where for the space of 2 hours, some of the people in the town shouted, great is the goddess Diana, or something of that effect. But notice, when some of them woke up, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I have no idea what that equates to, but it was a lot of money. When people are spiritually awake, they will cast off the works of darkness. They will get rid of those things which will cause them harm, which will cause them difficulty, which will keep them from faithfully serving the Lord. Also, one of the things we do when we get up is to get dressed. I'm told that there are those that will lie around in their sleeping clothes all day. I don't know. But what do we do when we get up? One of the things that was always impressed upon me is when you get up, you have things to do. You don't just wake up just because you wake up. You get up and you do things. One of the things that we as Christians need to do when we awake is to dress for battle. We are in a war. It is an ongoing and continual war that will not stop. And whether we like to believe it or not, we're every one of us on the front line. So we need to be prepared. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, if you'll turn there, I'm sure you knew I was going there. We know that the Apostle Paul is writing to these people. He was telling them to be awake, to be aware, not to be sleeping. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Keep in mind, all of that strength comes from the Lord, but we need to use the things that he's provided for us so that we can be strong. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's important. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." You can't leave any of it out. "That you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Somebody might say, "Well, what is that armor?" Well, here it is. Verses 14 and following. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Friends, these are the offensive and the defensive weapons that a Christian has. We dress for battle. But even while we are dressed for battle, even while we're in the midst of this war against sin and evil and darkness, we can behave decently. God wants all things to be done decently and in order. He wants his people to be decent people. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the aged apostle was directed to write in that general epistle, the first of which bears his name. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." When Jesus Christ was here, he came not to do his own will, but the will of his Father, which is in heaven. That's what we are to do. That's what we will do if we are not asleep or in slumber spiritually. In accordance to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, "One cannot live as they once did before they were in Christ." That was not the way they were supposed to be living. And keep in mind, when one obeys the gospel, they die to sin. That doesn't mean they're not going to sin. Doesn't mean sin's not going to be presented to them or temptation's not going to be presented to them. But we cannot continue to live as we once did. Verses 2 and 3, 1 Peter 4, "that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." We may very well say, "You know what? We're not so bad people. We may not have participated in the things of the world, such as are listed in this particular verse, such are listed in various other places. But we're told to love not the world nor the things of the world." And part of behaving decently is to abstain from all appearance of evil. It's time to wake up. It is time for all Christians to wake up, to realize and understand the battle that is going on all around us. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, we see what the Apostle Paul was directed to write to the Roman brethren. Now keep in mind, these were those who had obeyed the gospel. These were ones who had already put on Christ in baptism. And he says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as the day, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Are you still asleep? That's a question that I cannot answer for you. But you can. If you've never put on Christ, know that you're spiritually dead. If you have put on Christ and have allowed yourself to fall into slumber, you're spiritually asleep. And the end result of both is eternal condemnation. For one to be spiritually alive, they must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16. Repent of sins, Acts 2:38. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. And then remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. The whole church at Smyrna was told, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. But what if we have put on Christ? What if we are children of God and we've nodded off? We need to wake up. We need to come back to our full awareness and our full ability to serve God and do His will. It's oftentimes been called the second law of pardon. Acts 8:22. Simon, very recently, had become a child of God. Very recently, had stumbled and fallen. And it was brought to his attention immediately. What was he told? Repent, therefore, this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You know, one time Jesus talked about a burglar breaking into a house. And he said if the good man of the house knew what time the burglar would come, he'd be awake and he'd be ready. The question then this evening is very simple. Don't you want to be ready? You can. And we can help you. Our hymn of invitation has already been announced. If you'll turn there now, we will be singing verses 1 and 2. If you're subject to the invitation, now is the time to come and make yourself right with God. Let us stand together.